Before Jordan, I want to begin with this. If we can all stand for the reading of the word, this will be my text, but really the majority of my message is going to be found in the book of Numbers. But I thought this was fitting. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. And it goes like this: Ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all you do, for all what you are going to do, Father, in this place, in this congregation at this time, Lord. We thank you, dear God, for the reading of your word, Father, for the exhortation of your word, Father, that, dear God, we can come to a place to meet here, Lord God, where the tabernacle is still open, Lord God, where the incense continues to burn on the altar, Father God. We thank you, dear God, for who you are. We thank you, dear God, for being an awesome God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is still in the business of healing our sick bodies, who is still in the business, Father, of getting us through this journey, Father, as we go through this journey called life. We thank you, dear God. We praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. We ask you, Father, we invite you into this place, Lord God, as in every time, in every situation, we ask you to come into this place, dear God, and to commune with us, Lord God, in our hearts, our minds, our souls, and everyone says, amen. You may be seated. The journey before Jordan. You know, church, if you look at the story of the children of Israel, and my message is going to be found in Numbers. If you go to chapter 33, verses 1 through 53, we're going to go through a journey here. You know, when the Lord is talking to Moses, you've been here long enough. Many times there's that mountain that we've been traveling around, traveling near, church, and many times it's that mountain that keeps us from reaching the Jordan River. Any church tonight, there's many congregations who have closed their doors to the things of God. There's many times there's people that are still in the same camp, that are still doing the same things over and over and over again tonight. You know, church, tonight, actually this morning, we talk about shock value. We had some guests this morning. And you know, many times in our churches, we are so comfortable with everything we do. We are so rigid on schedules, and which is good. God is a God of order. And I thought about that this morning, how we had a little boy going back and forth. And as I sat up here, I watched the eyes of the congregation. Some people just look forward. I'm not going to participate in this. Some people really were intense on watching this child. And I thought, you know, it made me think, church, we were all there at one time. We were all the unchurched, the unlearned, trying to figure out where we fit in church. Trying to fit in those walls. We talk about those walls. The last time I preached, I talked about these walls. The church that we need, church, the people that we need to reach is out there. It's out of those walls. If me coming to preach to you has always got to be in a suit and tie, and you get used to that, and one day I show up without a tie, is that going to affect you? It shouldn't affect the Word of God. But we get so rigid. I do. You know, church, I was taught years ago, and I've always tried to hold on to that by ministers long ago that I need to be my best when I presented the Word of God. That's why I always wore a jacket and a tie, because that's what I was taught. Doesn't make it right, but that's my conviction. You know? And we as a church, we're at a point. The children of Israel were at a point. They had a lot of encampments as they went along through life. There was a lot of camps they went through. And we can learn a lesson from that. And as I study this message, as the Lord is putting this on me, he was putting it on my heart. Where are you as far as the camps? The children of Israel, you know that every camp that the children of Israel had to go through, there was probably over 42, 43 camps that they had to camp before they got to the Jordan. There was a long period of, you know, decades that they had to wait through for those that had rebelled to die off. And you know, if you really look at geographically how long, how far it was to the so-called promised land, And as many children as there were, you know, many people have put together these statistics that say, you know, if people traveled, you know, theoretically 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 feet apart, as many children as they proposed were out there, that as children were starting to leave Egypt, many would be getting very close to the promised land because of the amount of people that were involved and the distance. It wasn't that long. But God made sure that those that had rebelled were not going to be in that promised land. It's a test of us as children of God. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses found himself in a situation where it was time to get everyone to move on. And many times, church, we have to move on. There had been enough time spent in this campsite, and sometimes we fail to be productive, getting out of our comfort zones. You know, the story of the children wandering for all these years in wilderness was about to conclude. By the time this book was written, Deuteronomy, these events are being spelled out by Moses. You know, after 40 years of wandering, so many years of wandering from desert to desert, there was a lot of years involved. You know, church, that there was about 40 days left before they were to cross the Jordan. How many days do you have left before you cross the Jordan? Think about that. How close are we? You know, church, the Thursday night, was a Thursday night. Boy, for those of us that were in church, you could feel it. How close are we, church? How close are we? It's that unity in the church, all with one accord. And I thought, how close are we? God, let us see your glory. Let us feel it, Lord. Let us see it in this place. Let there be a physical manifestation that our young people can see one more time in their life, in this generation. Because, church, they need it. You know the problem with the children of Israel? And if you look at this book, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, at 120 years old, was having to expound everything again to the children of Israel. Because there was a new generation that needed to understand the rules, the Levitical laws, needed to understand why they were going at this point, why they had traveled their history, and sadly, the sins of their forefathers. Now you're all going to get an opportunity to cross, to go across into the promised land. But let me warn you, there are rules, there are laws. Let me allow you to understand that your fathers failed to get you there, but we will help. With this understanding of who God is, we will help get you there. Because you know, church, crossing the Jordan wasn't just for men. It was for men, women, and children. It was for the family. They were all to cross. You know, and as they were told to go north, they were to go through Edom. But God's rules were you were not to conquer these people. You were to treat them with respect. They are your relatives, children of Esau, many, many generations back, you're to treat them with respect. You are to pay for what you use. You are to go if you need water, if you need food, you're to pay for it. You're not to take it. You are to treat them with respect. The journey's almost over. What have the children of Israel learned? What have we learned in our journeys? The book of Deuteronomy is the restatement of the law for a new generation. Wow, I read that. You know, I was doing some research and I saw that on the internet. That statement stood out. The restatement of the law for a new generation. Church, we're that new generation. And many times we need to have that law reinstated. Because what's gone is gone. Whatever our forefathers did, whatever our church fathers did way back when, church, we can build on that. But church, we can't live with that. We have to create what is now and make it now. Because God has an expectation. We need to move forward. You know, as I was thinking about many of the lost souls that need to come through that church door, church, there are a lot. Because what if, church, one invitation to one couple, one family, brings in three others? Are we all willing to meet them and get out of our comfort zone? Are we willing to take our coats off and lend them a coat when they need it? Are we willing to give them the coat off of our backs? Are you willing to give them $5 to make it through another day? What are you willing to do? We think about that. What would Jesus do? in Numbers 33, we visit the years of wondering for the children. But God is asking me to wrestle with this question. Are my days of spiritual wondering over? It's a question that God is asking me. Spiritual wondering. How far along the camps that the children of Israel, that they journeyed through, the encampments, the many times they had to camp. And at what camp are we at, church? How close are we to the Jordan? It's like here, how close are we to the Jordan here? We're ready for that breakthrough. And I know a while back I preached on cliches, just another cliche. We get tired of cliches, church. But how close are we to that breakthrough? The world is looking for fire. The world is looking for something that is true and absolute. And the world is not finding any place else. I was sharing my thoughts with my wife and I was telling her, you know, for a person to take up the invitation to come to church with us, it says a lot. People are looking for something. They're looking for something that is absolutely true, not made up. Many people who attend churches, let me tell you, church, the charismatic movement has destroyed more churches today in this country, in this world, than any other movement. Because so many things that we thought were things that we need to avoid, all of a sudden it's all okay. But it has created not an okay society. It has created people who are hurt, who are wounded, who will never recover. And we need to be able to say, we're not perfect, but we have an answer. That answer is Jesus Christ. Let me lead you to the cross. Let me lead you to the Christ. God is revealing himself to us every day as we march towards eternity. But many are still holding out. As we journey through, many are still holding out. People place a bookmark in their lives and close the book for now, remaining still. How many of the children of Israel wanted to stay in some of those camps and say, well, we reached this campsite and this one has water. We got manna coming. Why don't we just settle here? You know, church, I want you to think about a generation of people that have to continuously be on the march. You set up, you live in a tent. You are not going to build a permanent foundation, a house. You are going to keep moving. You are going to keep moving. And that's what God is expecting us, to keep moving, church. We are not supposed to camp out. We are supposed to keep moving. There's a time and a place to rest, but God is saying it's time to keep moving. This message, as I put it tonight, I was thinking about Father's Day, and I thought, you know, how fitting it is that this message is more for men than it is for women, but I think women can appreciate it. And I'll probably get a lot of votes from the women tonight if I make this statement. Men, I know it's Father's Day, but sometimes as men, we got to show leadership by pitching in. You know, many times, and I probably step on toes, many times as men, we think that we're exempt. We think that we're the men that need to sit there and while the women are cleaning the kitchen. See, I'm getting some smiles from some of the women. I'm starting to get some scorn and some laughter here. But I think about that. What are we teaching our children? It's leadership. It isn't so much the issue of dishes or cleaning the kitchen. It's what are we showing? The integrity, the work. It's leadership. The children of Israel had to go out every morning and gather manna. I'm sure they all took as much as they could that first day until they figured out, you know what, this thing turns to worms. Just take as much as you need and eat it. And eat it. But I'm sure everyone participated. And I say that, church, because as I sit back, and I'm just as guilty, we take it for granted. When people arise to begin the process of cleanup, some of us continue to unarise and wait. I thought I'd get some votes from the women, but hey, I'm trying. Yeah, preach on it. Okay. The walk of a Christian father is filled with different levels of highs and lows. We walk through the lowest valleys as we journey, but we don't stay there. We climb the highest peaks, we don't stay there. We think about providing for our families. We think about so many things, about work and about what we have shown our families and maybe not shown. You know, church, I want to say publicly tonight, and many times I've done this many, many years ago, I want to publicly apologize to my boys if I haven't shown them enough of what a man is supposed to be like. I want to publicly apologize to Michael, to Jonathan, and to Larry for not being the man I should have been 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Because church, if I fail them, that is something they're going to have to carry the rest of their lives, and that's something I'm going to have to carry with me. And church, I want to be as transparent as I can. We as fathers have failed our children at times. When we should have picked up the slack, we didn't. When we were called upon to do something with them, for them, about them, many times we didn't. And I want to say, as fathers, sometimes it's okay to apologize to your children and say, you know what, I failed you, but maybe it's time that I go ahead and I pick up the slack. And many times that slack will pick it up through prayer. It's time to light heaven up with our prayer, with fire. So boys, my apologies to you. And I love my boys very much. Even our Ranger boys. I care about our boys. And if I've failed you boys as a leader, I want to apologize to them too. Because it means a lot to me to have young boys who are someday not so much looking at up to me, but looking at a God. Looking at the God we serve. Men. Our Christian walk sometimes is filled with a lot of things, church. Just like the children of Israel going through these many camps. There's times, there's points in our lives as men that we've lost confidence. We have memories of times past. Sometimes we want to relive those memories. We look for the past and the now and want to keep the now and the future. We look to be the greatest dad of all times, and many times we fail. Our shortcomings are on display. Our desire supersedes the desires of our Heavenly Father. Children look for approval many times. We don't give it. Children look for that father-child relationship, and at that time, we fall short. Men, what takes up our time? What camp are we in? What is taking up our time? We're all marching on, but are we ready to cross the Jordan with our families? You know, like I said, the children were to cross the Jordan with their families. And this one was for me. Many times we preach the word of God, but at times we never comprehend the message. Not just as a congregation, but as those of us that preach the word many times, church, because there's so much in there. We talk about an awesome God, but very seldom we show him through our lives. A message for fathers we can hold on forever, but can have forever to cling to. We cannot hold on forever, but can have forever to cling to. You know, the Bible gives us a lot of examples, church, of failures and successes. There was a lot of men that were successful, but there was a lot of men that failed. Now, the children of Israel, in their walks, they typify the walk of a man. If I was a Hebrew man then, or a Christian man now, what camp would I be in? Church, I want to go through the book of Numbers. Are my days a spiritual wandering over? 42 campsites. I want to go through these campsites very, very quickly because I don't want to take too much of your time. But what I did is I went through every campsite that the children of Israel camped at. And you know, church, that every one of those campsites, the name of those places where they camped, it means something. And I read through that, and it really struck a chord with me. Where am I at in a campsite? Verse 1, these are the journeys of the children of Israel. Maybe we ought to say, these are the journeys of me as a man, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the commandment of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to the goings out. Why was it so important to write down these journeys, church, and to give them names? Why was it important? What was so important about it? It was a reminder of where you've been, what you went through, and the next camp you went to. This is my journey. Where am I at? Verse 3, and they departed from Ramses. And that's where we begin this story. And we start looking at the different campsites. They departed from Ramses in the first month on the 15th day of the first month. On the morrow after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. That almost sounds like we just got saved. Boy, we just left the world. We are saved. We're on fire for God. You know, we are ready to go take on the world. But we still have a wilderness to get through. We are ready to take on anything that comes our way. But God says, hold on a minute. You're going to have to prove yourself. Because many times, church, we get so excited, so emotional about things. And we forget many times we just need to communicate with God. God made it so simple for us. Verse 4. We begin with the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn, and we know what happened to the Egyptians. The Lord had smitten among them, and the Lord executed judgments. And I'm just kind of jumping around in these verses. Verse 5, and the children of Israel removed from Ramses and pitched in Succoth. You know what Succoth means? It's booths, it's tabernacles, churches. Is that what it is? Church. We, born-again Christians, spend our time in church. That journey begins in the house of God. And we think we've got it set. You know, this is all I got to do to make it to heaven. It's just spend time in the house of God. Maybe not totally commit, but at least spend time in here. And verse 6, they leave the church, or they start to venture out, and they pitch in Etham. And Etham is known as their strength, their sign, their strength. And sometimes we start relying on the strength of the church instead of the strength of God. Verse 7, they left Etham and turned into Pihahiroth, which is before Baal-zephon. This is the place where the reeds grow. And where reeds grow, it's generally watered down. There may be marshes there. And we start to get a little bit stuck. We start to get a little bit stuck in our walk. Verse 8, they go and they pitched in Marah. And Marah means bitter. And that was the first camp after crossing the Red Sea. And you know, church, bitterness. We camp and we remain with bitterness. Because many times God has said, you need to get rid of the bitterness in your lives. There's some things we start carrying in our Christian walk, and God is saying, you need to have all of you, and you need to let go of that. Past relationships. Verse 9, Elim. That means strong trees. Contrast that with Marah. See, in Elim, there were 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. How many people want to stay there? And say, we found water. The place before that was bitter. Bitter water. They had to sweeten it, but you know what? We've arrived. And many times in our church, as men, we think we've arrived. We think we've got the family figured out. We've got all of our relationships figured out. We've begun to leave bitterness behind. And now we're ready to just settle down someplace. And God says, move on. Verse 10, they go by the Red Sea. And verse 11, and they remove from the Red Sea and encamped in the wilderness of Sin. Israel begins to murmur at this time, and God has to provide manna. Many times, church, we become dissatisfied with the things of the house of God. Because is it regulations, is it rules, or is it our flesh continuing to bubble up? Because many times we have not totally subdued that flesh, because we live in this flesh. We're at a campsite of discontent. We're starting to struggle with our flesh. Verse 12. And they took their journey out of the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Dophkah. And that means a knocking. My flesh continues to murmur. The Lord continues to knock. Many times we hadn't gone over ourselves. And God is telling us, you need to get over yourselves. Verse 13. They encamped in Alush. And that means a crowd of men or mingling together. At this time, we either start fellowshipping with the people of God or we start fellowshipping with the world. And many times we start losing our friends. Who are your friends? You are who your friends are. And many times we start to fellowship with the wrong people. Men pleasers. You know, misery likes company. Keeping the same mind that produces the same results. And so far, I've only hit a few campsites. I'm not going to hit them all, church. Because there's a lot of campsites here. Next campsite, verse 14. Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. That was a resting place, and that's what it means, resting place. But that was the first time the children of Israel were attacked by the Amalekites. You know, they murmured about the lack of water at this camp. And Moses struck the rock in Horeb for water. You know, murmuring caused this place to be called Massa or Meribah. God tests our trust in Him and desires to give us rest. We respond through what we have experienced at the other camps. Verse 15, the wilderness of Sinai. You know the wilderness, you know what Sinai means? We hear that the Sinai desert. Sinai means to shine. Now what is shining in your life? Us as men, what is shining? What is it that our children can get, gleam, be attracted to in our lives? What is shining in our lives? Or are we dulled out at this point? Verse 16, and they removed from the desert of Sinai and pitched at Kibroth Hattaava, and that means the graves of lust. The children complained about the march, the heat, the toil, and I think you recall the story, lightning fell and killed many on the outer part of the camp. Moses had to intercede. Israel complained about the manna. God sent quail after they lusted after meat. It spread sickness among them and death. They were buried without the camp. This camp determines whether or not you're out of the flesh. Church, these people were lusting after meat. They got tired of the vegetables, gotten tired of the manna and the manna. They probably run out of everything they had brought with them. They were being fed with manna and manna. The things that God provides, people get tired of because they make a conscientious decision to go back to the things they knew, which is the flesh. And the flesh begins to take its toll on the spiritual side of man. Verse 17, they encamped at Hazeroth. That means fenced enclosures consisting of a low wall of stones. You know that when we come to a place in our lives where we set up walls, it's either to keep things in or keep things out. And many times as men, we want to keep things in. The things that we need to wrestle with and get out, many times we keep them in. And the things that we need to keep out as men, we're not keeping out. And God is saying, it's time to break down those walls. What camp are you in? Verse 18, they pitched in Rithmah. That name refers to the white desert broom, which even church, that white desert broom, it's that plant that grows out in the desert. And if you consider that that broom, that beautiful plant, is just as rugged as anything in that desert, and its beauty is going to stand in spite of the elements. But us as men, God is saying in your Christian walk, no matter what you're going through or what desert you're going through, are you going to be able to stand? Verse 19, they pitched at Rimon Perez, which is translated to mean either pomegranate, and some people refer to it as being another interpretation as to be high. Basically, pomegranate, which is a nourishment. Many times God is giving us a campsite where we can be nourished, but we got to keep moving, church. What camp are we in? You know, as I looked at every one of these, I thought, I was thinking of morning's example, church. And I thought, many people haven't even started on that journey. There's a lot of people among us that will come in hurting in those doors that will not have the experience that we have had. And the experience gives us wisdom, as we had in our Sunday school lesson. And that wisdom is so important, it's so vital, church. People are wanting to glean our wisdom and knowledge of what we know about God. Do we know enough about God to get out of the camp and to tell people they don't have to go through everything we've gone through? They can start clean and anew and start clean and fresh and say, this is where I start and this is where I end. The trip to Jordan is very short. Verse 20, Libna, which is whiteness, transparency. Libna, men, are we transparent? How transparent are we as men? Can people read you? Can people read your thoughts? Can people read the kind of person you are? How transparent are you? But more than anything, church, how transparent are you before Almighty God? Verse 21, Risa means watering or distillation, dew, a place to be watered. Verse 22, Kehilatha means a gathering and assembly again. Verse 23, Shefar means brightness. 24, Harada means fearful or fright. 25, Machilath means assemblies, a places of assemblies again. Verse 26, and they removed from Machilath and encamped at Tehoth, which is fear, or going down. And here at Wellback Church, I preached a message on fear. The biggest thing that holds back the church of Jesus Christ is fear. And for men, it's the fear of failure. It's a fear of ridicule by those around us. It's the fear of totally committing and being immersed in the things of God. Because you know, church, when we look at the prophet, when he was met by a chariot of fire, how many men would like the experience of a chariot of fire? I think we would all like to, but we want to carry some of our baggage on that ride. God is saying you need to get rid of it all. Because a chariot of fire is of a holy God. And you think about the fire that consumes all. God is looking for men that are willing to climb aboard that chariot of fire. Leave that camp. But church, we need to leave it all behind. It's time to remove the baggage. Verse 27, they departed from Tehoth and pitched at Tara. And Tara means a stopping or delay. And many times, church, we hinder our own walk with the Lord, because we make decisions along the way. And sometimes they're based on those things, those environmental things around us. There's things around us, church, that will just eat us up, that every day will continue to drive us to make decisions that we really don't need to be making. We talked about wisdom. Wisdom begins with acknowledging who God is in every situation. Verse 28, Mithka, sweetness and pleasantness. 29, Hashmonah, which is fatness. 30, Maseroth, which is bonds. Many times men are held in check. Verse 31, Beneshekon, sons of sorrow. Verse 32, Hor-Hag-Idgad, the hill of felicity or intense happiness. It's also a conspicuous mountain. Sometimes, church, the mountains are going to come up in our lives. There are mountains and valleys that are coming up. Many of you are facing mountains tonight. Many of you are in valleys. And many times, we are trying to figure out how we're going to ever get through the day, through the week. There are mountains that are coming that are a lot taller than we thought they would be. And many times, what does God say? Just plow through. If you can't get around it, go over it. Go over it, church, and get over it. Because you know God is looking for people that are willing to do that, make that extra effort to climb over. Nothing was ever easy, church. And we know that. We look at our Christian walk and where we all began. We all began at a certain point in our lives at a camp. We all began in Egypt. And God rescued us. And God took us out. And now, as we are coming out, church, it is time to get through these camps. Verse 33, Jotbathah, land of brooks and water. Ebronah, passage over. Verse 35, Zion Gaber, which is a giant's backbone. You know, church, there are giants that are still out there. You know, if you go through the Word of God, there was always giants back there that someone had to conquer. Right now, not only are there mountains, church, before us, but there's giants in those mountains. And we put it that simply, there are giants in those mountains. And those giants are coming down into the valleys. How are we going to take those giants on, church? We have the greatest weapon that anyone can even ever think of. We have countries that are ready to go to World War III right now. We have Iran on one side rattling its saber at us. North Korea rattling its saber at us. Russia testing us, seeing how far they can push us. Every country is wanting to see just how tough the U.S. is. But I'll tell you what church. There is nothing tougher in this world than a servant of Almighty God who spends their time on their knees in prayer and is willing to light up the night skies with prayer, that is willing to light up the day skies with prayer, who is willing to allow the holy fire to come down into a church meeting like this church. There's not a lot of people here tonight, church, and I realize that. But church, the effectiveness of this small congregation and the things you can do to turn this church, put this church on fire, it's something we can't even imagine. And God is saying you're just a step away. You're a step away from healing. You're a step away from that prayer you've been asking. You're just a step away. And God is saying, Terry, just 1 hour with me. Give me an opportunity to show you my glory. And many times we're ready to close the book and say, I'm going to put my bookmarker in this. I'm done. God is saying, I want the person who's willing to go all the way. Church, for those of us that work all day, our minds are preoccupied with tasks. We become task-oriented. There's things we got to get done every day. My experience, I go to work, I'm trying to multitask. I have so many things going on at one point in the morning, on Monday mornings especially, and I have to sort everything and put them in compartments and figure out what it is I need to address first. What was left over from last week? What was left over from last month that now needs attention? And I go through that every day. And I think, my God has it all figured out. You know, many times we don't look for wisdom from God because we think we got a handle on it, and God says, no, you don't. And you know, church, my morning prayer many times is, Lord, bless the work of our hands. Bless the work of our hands, that everything we touch, Lord, is for your blessing, for your honor. And you know, church, things go smoothly. Verse 36, the wilderness of Zin. Zin was basically a flat area. Verse 37, Mount Hor basically just means mount. Once again, you're going to be pitching near a mountain. There is going to be more mountains in our lives. You young boys are going to experience mountains, whether it's family, whether it's parents, whatever it is. All of us are going to experience something in our lives in the next few weeks, in the next few months. We are all going to go through something, church. But how are we going to respond? The hardest thing is many times the flesh wants to take over. Verse 41. And they departed from Mount Hor and pitched in Zalmona, which means shady. Verse 42. Punan means darkness or precious stone. 43. They pitched in Oboth, which means bottles. This is where the brazen serpent was raised after the children complained and were bitten. They pitched in, this is verse 44, Ajiabarim in the border of Moab. These are the ruins of Abiram. Verse 45, Dibon God, which is greater understanding. As you see, church, we're getting closer to the end of our journey. God is willing to give us greater understanding. And it's interesting that verse 45 talks about a campsite that basically literally means greater understanding. Have we accepted? Have we gotten that greater understanding? We gain more wisdom. Verse 46, Almon Deep Blathaim, hidden in a cluster of fig trees. Verse 47, the mountains of Abarim. Abarim means passages. God is giving us passages. God is ready to give us a passage to get home. But church, God is looking for people tonight who are willing to have greater understanding, who have gone through the valleys, who have gone through the mountains, who have gone through all these campsites, who have gone around the mountains, who are willing to go through the mountains and say, Lord, I will do it tonight. I will be who you want me to be. God is looking for those people tonight, church. Because tonight, church, nobody else is going to do it. And I know we get tired about talking about this point. Many churches have closed tonight. There is no one listening to the Word of God tonight. People are obsessed in today's world with television. They are obsessed with Facebook, with all the social media. They are locked in to this stuff. And it's consuming their lives. It's consuming their energies. Church, at one point, and it's gotten worse now, at one point, for men, it was pornography, destroying men. And it continues to be there in very subtle forms, coming in and preying on the minds of men. Because if it can destroy men, it'll destroy your children. It'll destroy your families. It'll destroy everything around you. Cheating, stealing, the many things that we abhorred, the many things that we said we would never do, church, they're coming. They come in, they creep in. They knock on the door and they say, "Let me in." They lean up against you, whisper in your ear and tell you, "That's okay. Go ahead and do it. That's okay. Go ahead. It's fine. Because everybody else does it." You know, we talked here recently. I mentioned tax time. So you know I got to preach that month of taxes. But one of the comments I made was, how many Christians actually cheat on their taxes? How many Christians actually add extra numbers, pad, invent, create, add more, delete? How many Christians do that just so they can gain a little bit more? Church, if it is to gain $5 on your tax return, it is not worth going to hell over that. You think about that. It's like that child you teach who takes a piece of bubble gum from a store. And you taught your children not to steal. And as parents, and I've done this before, we go back. "Why'd you take that?" "Well, you know, I took it. That's not paid for. We're going back. We're going to apologize. Because that's what I need to teach my boys." How many of you men have taught your boys that? How many of you men have taught your daughters that? You think about that. What is wrong. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll take a little bit. How about in everything, church? Relationships. What have we taught our boys? Where are you in this camp we call life? Where are we? You know, as we look at these journeys, verse 48, "And they departed from the mountains of Abarim and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho." We're getting close. Moab. Jordan. You know, church, God is wanting us to already be near the Jordan. God is wanting for us to take the leadership as men, to be those that are willing to walk across the Jordan, that are willing to pick up the stones in the middle of the Jordan, that are willing to get the stones across the Jordan, that are willing to take the ark across the Jordan, that are willing to take the church across the Jordan, that are willing to be leaders and go across the Jordan, church. But church, how are we going to do it if we as men, if we fail, and we're still back at camp number 2 or camp number 3? God is looking for men that have had this experience and that are willing to say, "I want to camp at Jordan. I'm ready to go across." Church, are we ready to go across tonight? Because you know the world is telling you, you'll never be good enough. You'll always have this issue in your life, and it's going to hang around your neck like a noose. And I will never let you go. And my God says, "I will break those bonds. And I will set you free. So there will never be those concerns. I will put it behind me." You know, church, there's a lot of things in our lives. And as I thought of this young lady with her children, what if, church, we're the last stop for them? What if we're that last stop before the place where someone can get help to get to the Jordan? What if? And church, what if we fail them? And I'm not just talking this young, the young lady with the children that was here this morning. I'm talking about anybody else. What if we fail them? God is saying, we don't need them to fail. Because the children of Israel were many. There was many, many children of Israel that had to cross. And they were going to cross with women and children. And when they took that ark across, church, we need to take that ark across. Are we willing to do that tonight? Verse 50, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, When ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. And he shall dispose, and he shall dispose the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I had given you the land to possess it. Verse 55. But if you shall not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. You know, church, when we took this Christian walk, we never said it was going to be easy. You know, we all, many of us were raised in church. Many were not raised in church. Some came by Pentecost. Some came through Pentecost. Many people came with different experiences. Many, many experiences. But every experience had the cross in front of it, church. When we get to the Jordan, when we start to cross over, church, when we decide it is time to cross, it is time to take our families across, we need to leave everything behind. Because, church, some of the things we never consider, the children of Israel, everywhere they went, they had waste. And that waste had to be disposed of. And that waste was left behind. Everything they ate, everything they consumed, everything they had, church, the very clothing on their back, everything creates either waste, but you know their shoes never wore out. Their clothes never wore out. You know, church, God is an awesome God. And He will provide us a journey from Egypt all the way to the Jordan. And He will provide that, church. And never let those things in your life wear out. They're essential to you. He will allow you to keep walking through. He will allow you to continue to walk through and bring those along. But church, are we willing to not make those permanent campsites? God is wanting people that are willing to say, I want to walk through. I want to get to Jordan. Because you know, church, humanity right now is at a crossroad. Tonight, many states are passing laws regarding abortion. Some have passed laws regarding same-sex marriage. All the way from recognizing them as a minority group to the benefits of being married. The institute of marriage is being destroyed piece by piece, little by little. The father is being taken out of the picture. I read an article this morning on the news that there's a man who has fathered 47 children through a medical procedure. And I think, what a disgrace. This man is a PhD and decides it's okay with him. And he enjoys the fact that he's a father to that many children, someone's kids he doesn't even know. And I think, what a disgrace. What an abomination before our God to raise a fist at God and say, I can do whatever I want. I can procreate whatever I want and create whatever problems I want. We serve a holy God who has rules, who has procedures for us as men and women. And yet this man makes the front, the headline news because they think it's something great. Yes, church, it may be great to men, but to Almighty God, it's disgrace. What has man done? You know, there's a real strong word in when you use the word disgraceful in Spanish, it's a very, very strong word that you use on somebody because it sounds a lot tougher when you use it in the Spanish form. And I think Almighty God looks down upon us as this most disgraceful act. You took His grace and you took who God was and you basically threw it overboard and said, we don't need you, God, because we can do whatever we want. We think we are God, but the day is going to come, church. The day is going to come for every one of us, and not just us, the world, that they're going to see who Almighty God is. But church, before that day, I want to see His glory in the house. I want to see this place filled with His glory. That people will come and say, there is something happening at that small church, in that small community, because God is visiting this place. There's a visitation there because Almighty God is pleased with what the people of Calvary Lighthouse are doing tonight, today, at all times. God is looking for those. But God is not looking for those, church, that are willing to stay at a camp. God is looking for those that are ready to cross the Jordan. The travel of the Israelites is like our life experience and journey. You know, if you read through these verses over and over, it's a multitude of verbs and nouns and words that describes the camp we're at. You know, we as men, church, cannot be at the infant stage. It's time for men to man up. It really is. This day and age, the world is crying for men to stand up and be men. Stand up and be the man you're supposed to be. We are to lead and guide to this point. Church, God selected us as men to lead and point because the next generation of young boys is going to have to go and determine what the Levitical books are all about and have to go through and rehearse what God's rules and love and mercy is all about. Have we shown them that, church? The front that's in our eyes, in between our eyes, so we can always look at the Word of God. Can we take an honest look at our humanity and see where we're at? You know, thinking about nature. You know, we've had a couple of fishing trips and things of that nature, church, and I was thinking about this. Bald eagles. You know, they will stay together for life. They raise their little chicklets, as they call them, and they will stay together. And I thought about animals. Animals give us rules for how we react. They don't consume their own. They don't murder their own. You know, the male bald eagle doesn't attack its children. Animals generally don't do that, church. But human beings do. We have become so deprived of things. God is looking for men that are willing to stand up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to stand for children. We're going to stand for young men. We're going to stand for the household. We're going to stand for marriage. We're going to stand for the things that are important in today's age, because the question comes up again. Are my days of spiritual wandering over? Church, if you could please stand. Let me ask that question again. Are your days of spiritual wandering over? Thank you, sister. I would only have God to help me answer that question. My days of spiritual wandering, church, what camp are we at? Are we at a camp of sorrow? A camp of goodness? Camp of bitter water? Camp of sweet water? Camp full of mountains? A camp of giants? What camp are you at tonight? Where are we honestly tonight, church? Our young boys, we need to teach our young boys to be young boys. Our young girls, we need our young girls to be young girls. You know, we get concerned, church, about the fashions of the world coming into the church. Let me tell you, church, the fashions of the world are already coming into the church. They're already here. We need to be concerned with how do we get this stuff out. Because when we cross the Jordan, when we get across that Jordan River, we want to make sure those things don't come through. Because there's always going to be, for you young boys, there's always going to be a little boy following right behind you. For you men, there's always going to be one young man following right behind you. For you young girls, there's always going to be one little girl right behind you. For you ladies, there's always going to be a young girl right behind you. And whatever you say is okay, it's going to be okay for them. Before you cross the Jordan, look at what we need to leave behind, church. What camp are we at? Church, tonight, I want to be camped on the other side of Jordan. I don't want to be camped on this other side, church. The experiences we've already had, we've done, we've already gone through those, Lord, and our God has been faithful and true to us, but God is saying it is time to cross that Jordan. Church, tonight, I want to cross that Jordan. I want to be on the other side. I want to go to the promised land and stay there, church. And I want to take my family with me. Church, tonight, how many want to take their families across that river? How many want, church, tonight, by a show of hands, how many are wanting to take that walk across? Because, church, we only get one opportunity tonight. You may have tomorrow. You may have next week. But what if something happens tonight, church? What if something happens tonight
and we face eternity. Church, let's make a decision. Let's make that decision tonight that we are going to cross that Jordan and we are going to leave everything behind and we are going to camp on the other side. And we go across, we're going to take that ark with us. And we are going to take everything with us, whether it's the priesthood in our lives or whatever it is. God is looking for people that are willing to say, I made it across, but I'm also going to bring somebody else with me. Tonight, church, there's a world that is hurting. There are children that are hurting. The question for you parents, have you taught those children enough? Children for us as older adults, those people next to us in church, have we taught them enough about our lives so that they can accept who Jesus Christ is? For those of us in the workplace, have we showed those people where we work that we are true blue committed to Almighty God Himself? People are looking. People are hungry. Tonight, church, as we gather around these altars, we take time to pray. Let's ask God, Lord, we've been through these camps, Lord.